Very good afternoon to all brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. Today is Sunday, the 9th October 2022. So we will be following the new book, 75th Lessons of the Six Patriarchs Platform Sutta, with essential summary on cultivation. So this is also a transcript from the recording of the talk delivered by me in the year 2018, 27th of May. Okay, as usual, we will be having our pre-puja. Let's compose our mind, develop the faith, sadha, virya, then mindfully we shall commence the puja chanting. Namo Bhutsu Sajjaya Muni Pho. Namo Bhutsu Sajjaya Muni Pho. Namo Bhutsu Sajjaya Muni Pho. Namo Guansin Pusa. Namo Guansin Pusa. Namo Guansin Pusa. Namo Amitabha. Namo Amitabha. Namo Amitabha. Namo Amitabha. Namo Amitabha. Namo Amitabha. Namo Bhutsen Bhutsa. Namo Bhutsen Bhutsa. Namo Bhutsen Bhutsa. Namo Tichang Wang Bhutsa. Namo Tichang Wang Bhutsa. Namo Tichang Wang Bhutsa. Namo Pho Bhutsa. Namo Pho Bhutsa. Namo Pho Bhutsa. Arahang Sama Sambuddho Bhagava. Buddhang Bhagavantang Abhivademi. Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo Dhammang Namasami. Supatipanno Bhagavato Savakasangho Sanghang Namami. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhassa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhassa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhassa. Buddhang Saranang Gacchami. Dhammang Saranang Gacchami. Sanghang Saranang Gacchami. Dutiyampi Buddhang Saranang Gacchami. Dutiyampi Dhammang Saranang Gacchami. Dutiyampi Sanghang Saranang Gacchami. Tatiyampi Buddhang Saranang Gacchami. Tatiyampi Dhammang Saranang Gacchami. Tatiyampi Sanghang Saranang Gacchami. Anatipata Viramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami. Adinadana Viramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami. Kamesu Vichachara Viramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami. Musavada Viramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami. Suramiraya Majjhapamadatthana Viramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, let us pay respect to Pujan Buddhang Pujami. Among Pujay. Sanghang Pajebe. Okay, you all can be seated. And we turn to page 6 of the chanting book. We'll do the invocation to the devas. Invocation to the devas. In this universe, in their entirety, let the deities or devas come here. Let them hear the good teachings of the King of Sages, which gives heaven and release Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. Samanta chakavalesu atra gacchantu devata saddhammam muni rajasa sunantu sakkamokkhadam Dhamma savanan kalo ayang badanta. Dhamma savanan kalo ayang badanta. Dhamma savanan kalo ayang badanta. Namo atassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo atassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo atassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Iti peso bhagava arahang sammasambuddho. Vijja charana sampanno sugato lokavido anuttaro purisa dhamma sarti satta deva manusanang buddho bhagavati svakato bhagavata dhammo Sanditiko akaliko ehipasiko opanayiko pachyatang veditabbo vinohiti Supatipanno bhagavato savakasangho Ujjupatipanno bhagavato savakasangho Nyayapatipanno bhagavato savakasangho Samichipatipanno bhagavato savakasangho Yadidang chatari purisa yogani Atta purisa pugala Esa bhagavato savakasangho Ahuneyo pahuneyo dakkhineyo Anjali karaneyo Anuttarang punyang ketang lokasati Sadhu, sadhu Sadhu. Okay, we shall now continue from this new book, the 75th lesson of the 6 Patriarchs Platform Sutta. So this book is based on a transcript from the recording of the 75th lesson of the 6 Patriarchs Platform Sutta class data 27 May 2018, conducted by me, Wu Ping Jing Sir, section 11. Route 11, section 8. Section 11, route 8, sorry, telling you. Okay. We will read to you the content. Under content, first there is a preface where we introduce the topic. Then there is acknowledgement of those who have helped out. Then only the content proper of this 75th lesson or the 6th V3 of Platform Sutta. Then it will start with puja, which we have done. Then they also have their Dhamma and Sutra sharing by me. Then 3.2.1 is chapter 10 of the 6th V3 of Platform Sutta, where there is this final instruction with the subheading opposite and duality. Then 3.2.2 is how to transcend duality. Then 3.2.3 is the Four Noble Truths, comprising mundane and supramundane cultivation. And 3.3, meditation and meditation reporting. 3.3.1, daily mindfulness and understanding cultivation. Then 3.4, lessons, outline, short note, prepared after the class. Okay, we go to the bio data I just read for those who are new, who may not know my bio data. So this is it. Bertil graduated from the University of Leia in civil engineering in the year 1979. He has been a spiritual practitioner come meditator since 1971. Since his retirement in 2001 from his engineering career, he has been sharing his understanding and experiences with those who are keen in their search for true peace, happiness, and liberation from birth and death and our mental suffering, so that they can be a blessing to all of humanity. They are becoming a more virtuous, nobler, and wiser human being. He gives Dhamma talk and holds meditation classes and retreats and weekly meditation classes at various meditation centers, Buddhist society, and places that invited him. For more detail of Ratio's Dhamma activity and his mentorship grouping, please log in to his Dhamma website, http://brotherteo.com, brotheo.com. Okay, preface. It is Brother Teo's sincere wish that Dhamma friends, spiritual practitioners, seekers of truth, and cultivators of the way will be able to make use of the enclosed transcript notes to develop a better understanding of the Buddha Dhamma as taught by the Buddha, so that they may progress along the path of Dhamma to become more virtuous, nobler, and wiser human beings that can be a blessing to all of humanity and the world. As these notes were mostly compiled based on the direct transcript from the recording of the 75th lesson of this 6th V3 Platform Sutta class dated 27 May 2018. The text is aligned as closely as possible to the colloquial speech in the talk. However, some editorial amendment has been made to the text without distracting from the essence of the talk. It is hoped that readers can accordingly adjust themselves to better understand its true meaning and intent. A good way to do this is to listen to the recording first before reading the transcript book. To listen to the recording or audio file, you may log on to brotheo.com website under repository of Dhamma material, or just Google Brotheo's Kayanmitas, a repository of Dhamma material, to view them, or alternatively to download from the below MP3 audio link. Yeah. Okay, then we go to the acknowledgement. Acknowledgement. is the donor's sincere intention, then this Dhamma transcript notes be given free to those who are interested and have the affinity to receive them. I would like to take this opportunity to thank and rejoice in the generosity and wholesomeness of all those Dhamma friends or Kayamita who have donated and help out in the transcription typing, typesetting, formatting, proofreading, etc. to make this free distribution of Dhamma Dana possible. Special thanks should be accorded to Sister Padmasri and Sister Alicia, who had taken the initiative to develop the draft transcript for my subsequent editing, thereby enabling this Dhamma transcript book to be printed. By the power of all this wholesomeness, may all beings be well and happy, free from all mental and physical suffering and dangers. And may there be love, peace, and joy deep within their hearts. And may it also pave the way for there to be causes and conditions for all Dhamma friends who have donated or helped out in one way or another to realize their good and noble wishes or aspirations as soon as possible. With metta always. Okay, we go into the sutra proper. First is the puja, the usual pre-puja chanting of the Maya tradition salutation, followed by the Theravada tradition salutation, which we have done. Then the taking of the three refuges, and the renewal of the five precepts was done. For detail, please do listen to the recording or refer to our lesson 2 and 3 transcript book. The full version is printed there. 3.2 Dhamma and Sutra sharing by Brother Dio. So I started by addressing the audience. I said, okay, you all can be seated. Then maintain some form of attention. We will now commence the 6th Patriarch Sutta class. Today's lesson is lesson 75. Very good. We should be ending soon. We were at page 382, the final chapter. Okay, the sutra said, external insentient things have five pairs of opposite. Someone gently reminded Bhattio to recite the verse for opening the sutta. Then I say, oh yeah, thank you, Sister Ingbe. Yeah? We should return to page 1 to recite the verse for opening the sutta. Then there is this verse for opening a typical Mahayana sutta. This version is Master Xuan Hua's version, my refuge teacher. The unsurpassed, profound, and wonderful Dhamma is difficult to encounter in hundreds of millions of aeons. I now see and hear it, receive and uphold it, and I vow to fathom the Tathagata's true meaning. So this opening verse is very beautiful. Okay. Then chapter 10, final instruction, opposites and duality. Then in the main text is on page 382. Then we start by reading the sutra part. The sutra say external insentient things have five pairs of opposite. What are they? Heaven and earth is the first pair. Then the sun and the moon, light and darkness, yin and yang, and the water and fire element. This is typical Mandarin culture. They always talk about tian di. Tian is the heavens, di is earth. Heaven and earth. Heaven is what they call as tian. That is why the heavenly rhyme is also called Tian Fa Jian. Then we have the earthly realm, like earthbound devas within our planet. So they call it heaven and earth. And they always treat the sun and the moon as a pair, and in the same manner, light and darkness, yin and yang, and water and fire. So these are the five pairs of opposite. Then the sutta said, in speaking of marks of Dhamma, one should delineate 12 opposite. So this one is marks of Dhamma. Normal speech and Dhamma is one. Existent and non-existent is two. Form and formlessness is the third one. Then the mark and the unmark, the fourth. Then the presence of outflow and the lack of outflow. Form and emptiness, motion and stillness, clarity and stability. The common and the holy, membership in the Sangha and the membership in the ladies, old age and youth, largeness and smallness. So this is the way they actually categorize the marks of Dhamma. Then the sutta said, from that self nature, 19 pairs of opposite arise. So this is the way they subdivide. Length and shortness, deviance and orthodoxy, foolishness and wisdom, stupidity and intelligence, confusion and samadhi, kindness and cruelty, morality and immorality, straightness and crookedness, reality and unreality, danger and safety, affliction and bogey, permanence and impermanence, compassion and harm, joy and anger, generosity and stinginess, advance and retreat, production and extinction, the Dhamma body and the form body, the transformation body and the reward body. The master said, you can understand and use this total 36 pairs of opposite. You can connect yourself with the Dhammas of all the suttas and avoid extremes, whether coming or going. When you act from your self nature in speaking with others, you are separated from external marks while in the midst of them, and separate from inner emptiness while in the midst of emptiness. If you are attached to marks, you will add to your wrong views. And if you are grasping at emptiness, you will increase your ignorance. So this is the sutra part, the classification held by them. Now we can go on to the commentaries by Master Xuan Huo. Opposite here means mutually dependent and mutually opposed. 19 opposite arise as a function of the true suchness, self-nature. For example, if there was no long, there would be no short. Long is the opposite of short, and short is the opposite of long. Long and short are relative terms, and between them is the middle way. Kindness bestows happiness, and is the opposite of cruelty. Morality and immorality are opposite. Morality is the practice of all good actions and the absence of all evil. Compassion pulls living beings out of suffering and is the opposite of harmfulness. Generosity means giving. If you can give, you are not stingy. The Dhamma body pervades all places and is the opposite of the form body. So this is just a short summary by Master Xuan Huo. The actual sutta is much more detailed. But as far as the Dhamma is concerned, this is just an expression based on the Mandarin language and the Chinese culture at that time. These are the expressions that are commonly used, like the commentary says. From the self nature, we can come up with 19 pairs of opposites, but as we all know, these are dualities. Duality is limitless. It is not limited to 19 pairs of opposites or any number of pairs, like the first 5 pairs of opposites for external insentient things. They always talk about the first opposite of Tianti, even in the game of Haikao. They also have Tianti pair of cards, which are the 2 biggest cards. Then I don't know if there is this Mandarin word Kun. Then respond from the floor, yes. This Kun is my last name. So they say heaven is Tian, written on the whiteboard as Tian. Is this correct? And respond on the floor, yes. Then T, Vertio, Roti on the whiteboard. Is this correct? And they say this word pointing to Kun on the whiteboard. It's the highest on earth. That's why they got the word Qian Kun. You can go and check it out. It seems this one came from the I Ching or the Tong Su. So on earth, this one is the highest. I think somebody read it to me and I asked him what the word is. And he said, this is Kun. Then I said, my last name is also Kun. Like you all say, Qian Kun. What is the meaning of Qian Kun? They always use the 2 words Qian Kun, meaning heaven and earth, yin and yang, and the universe. As far as I know, this word Kun is the highest on earth. It means on earth, he is the one. So this is Tianti. That is why since young, when I heard this word, it's like my nature understand these 2 words very deeply. There is heaven and there is earth. And of course, the sun and the moon, light and darkness, yin and yang. Yin and yang is from the Tao teaching. Do you know Tao? The teachings of Lao Tzu. Yin and yang is infinite in numbers, not limited to any numbers. So what I want you to understand is just what the 5th patriarch told Hui Ning. All Dhamma arises from the self nature. So it is not limited to just 19 pair. Master Chen Hua didn't explain all this. He just summarized it. So what you need to understand as far as my nature is concerned, you don't have to worry so much about the description of the opposite. You only need to understand duality. This English word duality is very good. Is there an equivalent Mandarin word? They normally use this word, fen bie xing, meaning the mind that discriminates. But duality is a better word or a more appropriate good word. Yes, the more accurate equivalent word for duality is xiang dui fa. Xiang dui fa. So if you can remember this Dhamma, it is enough. Duality is a very important concept in Buddhism. Yeah, according to Master Hui Ning, the self nature is originally empty. So there was nothing. Or Ben Lai, Wu Yu, just as per his poem. That self nature is Ben Lai, Wu Yu. Or originally, there is nothing. Because this is the oneness nature, the source of all things. From there, everything arises. How amazing, Hui Ning said. All dhammas arise from this self nature, and this self nature originally, there was nothing. Since you didn't understand this part, since you was trapped in the mind, the mundane mind, he thought that was the true mind. That is not the true mind. That is the condition arising mundane mind or thinking mind. So that is the reason why Huy Neng say, Ben Lai Wu He Chu Re Chen. That is, originally there was nothing. Therefore, where can the dust align? So this dust come from duality, the concept of duality. But because since you didn't understand the concept of duality, to him, there is only wholesome and unwholesome Dhamma, or pure and impure states of mind. So to him, dust is like impure or defilement. When you create this duality of dust and non-dust, then you have problem already. Once impure arises, the opposite will also arise. Do you understand? If it is not pure, then its opposite, which is impure, will arise. So what happened when Sensu created this? He was trapped in his own creation. That was how Huy Neng countered it by saying, originally there is nothing. How can the dust align? If you don't create duality, there is no such thing as pure and impure. There is no such thing as dust and non-dust. So why do you create it? And after you have created it, you try to meditate. We are using the mundane mind to do away with it, the dust. And that is the reason why since you said, polish until it shine, so that no dust can align. Can you do that? You can't, isn't it? The moment you create this duality, the opposite will immediately arise or manifest. Then you try to attach to the pure, to the perfect, to the wholesome. Then you try to reject whatever that is the opposite, impure, defilements and unwholesome, etc. So what are you doing? You are fighting your own creation. Do you understand? And cultivation is not done in this manner. If you cultivate this way or this manner, you will not awaken, because this is the mundane mind. The mundane mind creates and then it tries to cease its own creation. How can you cease your own creation? To do that, the thought must die. Do you understand? And the thought refuses to die because it is egoic. So the thought that you use refuses to die. That is why when Huy Neng realized this, he could counter Sensu's poem. The fifth patriarch also knew. That's the reason why he told Sensu, you have reached the gate of enlightenment, but you didn't know how to go in. Which means he has developed just the normal cultivation of the sainthood way. He doesn't know that he has to cease all this. He hasn't realized the self nature, which will arise naturally once the mundane mind ceases, because it is the unborn, always there. The moment you don't create duality and you cease all this movement, then that true mind or true nature manifests. But that true mind or true nature is all the time there. So that's how since you are caught in duality, in not understanding all this. That is why the fifth patriarch gave him another chance to come back with another poem to show that he deserved to receive the insignia, ample and the robe from the fifth patriarch. But Sensu at that time was very tense and he couldn't come up with another poem. Because of that, the condition was such that Huy Neng would be the one who will inherit the fifth patriarchship. Because from the poem, the fifth patriarch knew he already had a condition to receive this patriarchship. But he just wanted to give Sensu a chance. That was before Huy Neng. Huineng wrote the counter poem in reply. For the next 1 or 2 days, since you couldn't come out with any poem. Then when Huineng came to know about the poem several days later, he came out and asked someone to write his poem for him. The Fifth immediately knew the implication, and that was why he immediately rubbed off the poem and said, "Never mind, this one also hasn't really seen the true nature." Then after that, he walked to the kitchen area where Huineng was pounding the rice. When he saw Huineng with a pedestal on his waist, because he was small in size and lacked the weight, so he had put on a pedestal rock tied to his waist and used it to help in the pounding. The fifth patriarch knew Huineng was gifted, and he had his past cultivation since he could understand all this. That was why he knocked on the pestle. He was pounding the rice 3 times. Before he did that, he actually had a short conversation with Huineng. He said, "Isn't it madness to sacrifice your life all the way to come just to seek Dhamma?" Then Huineng replied, "I seek nothing less than Sammasambuddhahood." Then the fifth patriarch said, "Is the pounded rice ready?" To this Huineng replied, "Ready long ago, waiting to be saved only." The fifth patriarch knew immediately, and he gave the sign for Huineng to see him that night on the third watch, sunken. That was how Huineng went to see the fifth patriarch, and when he heard the Diamond Sutta, he became thoroughly awakened. He only lacked the understanding of how to use the mundane mind. Do you know why Huineng had this problem? Because he was born without a mundane mind. That was the reason why he didn't understand how normal human beings with a deluded mundane mind become entangled. So when he was born without a mundane mind, he didn't understand what is his mind. His nature was already like that. So when the fifth patriarch expounded to him the Diamond Sutra, and when he reached the part which I had shared with you all before, he said, "This mind, which is the mundane mind, the five aggregates of form and mind, is karmically conditional for you to use. You have to learn how to use it and yet not to be deceived by it." The moment he heard that, he came to complete enlightenment. This means he completely understood what these things are. The reason why he was able to understand the first part, which is the unconditioned, was because his mind was without the mundane mind all this long since birth. So he already understood the unconditioned part, and what he lacked was the conditioned world's part regarding the mundane mind. That was the reason when he came to this part, he straight away understood that this mundane mind that came with the physical body of his, even though it was the supramundane mind, because he was born without the mundane mind, he still need to use it and yet not deluded by it. Yeah, this one is dependent originating, condition arising, causal phenomena, not real and impermanent. That's why it is anicca. You attach and cling, it will lead to suffering. And because it is impermanent, it can never be a permanent and changing entity where you can grasp onto, cling onto, hold onto and say, "This is me. This is I, and therefore all these are mine." Or, "This is me, this is I, all these are mine." So straight away he came to great awakening. That is why this part is very important. And when Huineng came to this understanding, he was completely transformed and he knew how to use them. But the fifth patriarch knew the causes and conditions were such that he could not come out straight away as yet, because that form and mind of his was at risk of being destroyed, people would come after him. There was this mundane condition because the people at that time expected Sun Xiu to be the only one eligible for the patriarchate. Do you remember after the fifth patriarch told them, "Don't waste time on tinted marriage. Strive on to come out with the verse to show me that your cultivation has reached a level of understanding so that I can pass on the patriarchate to whoever who can come out with the appropriate verse." Then all of a sudden, then all of them decided nobody should write it or write the verse except Sun Xiu, the chief disciple of the fifth patriarch. That was the reason why they expected him to be the successor or receiver of the patriarchship. The fifth patriarch knew very well the danger Huineng was in for. And that was the reason why he straight away told Huineng he must leave immediately. So in the middle of the night, he sent him off. The story continued. When they were at the boat and wanted to steer off, the fifth patriarch said, "I will steer you so that you can go." He said, "No, after you have transmitted the teaching to me, now it's my turn to steer you." That's why he steered a small boat and was able to leave the way place immediately. The fifth patriarch then came back to his monastery. The next morning only things started to happen. I think when they realized that Huineng was already not around, and then there was this rumor that the patriarchship has been transmitted. All this came about because of Huineng's second poem. So because of jealousy, a lot of Sun Xiu's followers chased after Huineng. They tried to track him down to bring back the insignia of the robe and the armsbow, so that Sun Xiu can be officially proclaimed to be the sixth patriarch. Do you all realize at that time, they even went against the decision of the fifth patriarch by going after Huineng? So civilization can become such. The part on Bodhidharma's life in China was also very interesting too. Previously, I sent out a video clip, a short version for sharing. Do you all remember? It was from a cinema show and it was a very interesting show. It shows how Bodhidharma transmitted the Dhamma to China, to the East, and how he actually introduced the Mahayana teaching. He said to Hui Ke, the second patriarch, that this tradition of passing down this robe and arms bow shall continue only until the sixth patriarch. After the sixth patriarch, there is no need for the transmission. Well, by then, this teaching, the Mahayana teaching, would have taken roots and flourished. So that was how all this happened. In this Bodhidharma series, towards the end, it was very interesting. At first, the emperor invited Bodhidharma. And so Bodhidharma came to China. In the early years of China's civilization, they had expected the great Dhamma master or ambassador from India to be very famous, to come with dignitaries and large following. But when they saw Bodhidharma came alone without any follower, without any grand entourage, the abbot and all those temple monks that were instructed by the emperor to receive him looked down upon him. They had some misunderstanding, but Bodhidharma was not affected. Then one day, they decided to have a 3-day and 3-night session of silent sitting meditation. The abbot and the 3 of his senior monks went in. The Bodhidharma was around, so he also went in. Then they made this ruling. They were supposed to cultivate the silent meditation, so no one should speak. Whoever speak would be disqualified and had to get out. So what happened was they meditated for quite a while until night or middle of the night. Then there were very severe wind movement, howling sound and rain. Suddenly the window started to move. So as we all know, Chinese usually have this fear during the night. So with the wind, howling sound, and the windows movement, one of the disciples developed fear and spoke, "What are those sounds?" And oh, the oil lamp's light is gone. Then the other monk laughed and said, "Huh, you are not supposed to talk, so you broke the rule." The other monk said, "I'm the only one that didn't talk." Then the abbot said, "You also broke the rule." So everyone broke the rule except Bodhidharma. Well, only Bodhidharma didn't say anything. Then there was this place where they used to cover the teacup, the Chinese teacup. He used the glassware cover to make some grinding sound on the table. Then when they heard him doing that, they asked Bodhidharma, "What are you doing?" Then Bodhidharma asked back, "What are you doing?" They then answered, "We are sitting in silence and meditation to realize Buddhahood." He then replied, "I am polishing this glassware to make it into a mirror." They laughed at him. We are saying, "You must be crazy. This is a glassware. How can it become a mirror?" Then Bodhidharma replied, "If polishing the glassware cannot make it into a mirror, then how can sitting in Zen without understanding make you a Buddha? What I am trying to do is to give you an analogy so that you all can understand. If what I am doing with this glassware is impossible to accomplish, meaning it's foolish to do. But I see you all doing the same foolish thing while sitting in Zen without understanding." They cannot understand him. Then Bratio said, "You all must listen to this and you will learn a lot." They then asked Bodhidharma, "How then can we become Buddhas?" This part I think you have to listen attentively. Bodhidharma replied, "One must start by understanding that the Buddha is the embodiment of his great perfection of wisdom and virtue, and not how he sits in his posture and movement, but how he sits, how he walks and meditates. The Buddha has no fixed posture. And Zen is not just about sitting in silence. Do you think by sitting the way, sitting this way without making any noise can make you enlightened? He said enlightenment is not about the form Dhamma, not about sitting, not about not talking, and all those gullible so-called Zen practices of form Dhamma. Enlightenment is an understanding and awakening, a wisdom that is to be realized by the wise each for themselves, and that the self nature or true nature is to be awakened to via the direct seeing with the silent mind. So you all only know you have to sit in meditation, but you all don't know why you sit and how to meditate. So how can you realize the truth and awaken to the way?" All the monks were stunned by his reply. "Do you know what they asked him back? What do you mean? Everybody sit. If we don't sit in Zen, then how can we awaken to the way?" Bodhidharma told the monk, "You must start from basic." So this word basic is very important. Start from basic. What does it mean? Do you know what the monk's response was? The monk thought it means to start as a samanera, doing all those basic preliminary practices. So they asked Bodhidharma, "What do you mean by starting from basic? We are all senior monks. We have already gone through all those preliminary training and practices. That's why we finally, that is why finally we only need to sit." Bodhidharma replied, "You have to start from basic, meaning start from the mind. or in Mandarin, 心为根本. And you must understand what this mind is all about, the two aspects of mind, so that you can understand clearly who you are and what you are. You can't even understand that you have a self nature, and everything arises from the self nature. We are creation by the mundane mind, which is dependent originating and condition arising. Then you are being superficial in your cultivation, and you are wasting your time without wholesomeness. Sorry, whether wholesomeness, unwholesomeness, evil or non-evil, etc., they all arise from there. Oh, sorry, they all arise from here. This is basic understanding, means from the mundane mind. The basic understanding of the self nature and the mundane mind is also the reason why Sakyamuni Buddha said, mind is the forerunner of all things. Mind is chief. Where mind arises, everything arises. Hence, good and bad, whether wholesome or unwholesome, etc., they all arise via the mundane mind's creation. And Bodhidharma said, if this basic teaching also you don't understand, then how can you meditate? Do you follow? This basic understanding teaches that your mind creates duality of good and bad, wholesome and unwholesome, etc. And that is why the Buddha said, mind is a forerunner of all things, and they are all, including the mundane mind. Oh, sorry, I read again. Mind is the forerunner of all things, and they all, including the mundane mind, arise from the self nature. And the mundane mind is a source of good and bad, right and wrong, wholesome and unwholesome, etc. If this understanding, which is called kunpan, or basic understanding, you also don't have, then you are being superficial in your cultivation, and you are always wasting your time. You can go and sit for umpteen years, yet you can never awaken. That's why you have to understand that you have a nature which is independent of thought. Thought is dependent originating condition arising, and from it, everything comes to be. This is basic understanding. That is the reason why Bodhidharma's teaching and Huineng's teaching are the same. Both take you directly to the true mind. Do you understand? Then from there, you can meditate, and everything will become easy. After that, the monks started to respect him. They started to listen to him. Then Bodhidharma started to teach them. And even the abbot started to develop the real cultivation and understanding. And towards the end, just before Bodhidharma decided to go back to India, he gathered them. I can't remember how many of them, I forgot. Was it 10 or 6? Before Bodhidharma left for India, he called them together and sat down with them. According to that video, if I'm not wrong, there were 4 or 5 of them. So he asked each and every one of them what they have learned. After my passing away, you all should go, each in different direction to teach. You all should know what you are supposed to teach and how to teach. So I want to hear from each and every one of you what you have learned from me thus far. So one by one, they started to say something. You can go and read the sutta and watch the video. It is a very interesting video. The first monk said something very simple regarding non-attachment towards the concept of Dhamma. Bodhidharma said, you only learn superficial Dhamma, which means like the superficial or the surface of the skin, very superficial. Then the next man said something concerning contentment, born of the direct seeing or awakening. To this second man, Bodhidharma said, you have received the flesh. The third man went deeper. He spoke about impermanence. Everything is unreal. The four elements, including space, are unreal and empty, and everything is dependent on originating, and that the entire six sense or consciousness are empty and unreal. He talks about the unreality of form and mind, touching on the deeper and more profound Dhamma. To this, he says, you have received the Buddha, or something to that effect. And there was another one. This one talked about empty nature of all things. Everything is impermanent, everything is unreal, and everything is dependent on originating. Very complete, he said. You are not that. I don't remember what analogy he used, but he said, you have received beyond the bones. Yeah. So you received quite a bit. The last one, he said, was Huike, the second patriarch, the future second patriarch, whom he passed the insignia robe and the arms pole to. Before he passed it to him, he asked Huike, what have you learned? Do you know what Huike did? You all don't know what he did? He didn't do anything. He just got out and paid his respect to Bodhidharma. Then after that, everybody looked around in disbelief. It's like he didn't learn anything. Then Bodhidharma said, that is it. That is it. We have the realization that one has learned and awakened to cannot be expressed. Do you understand? Whatever that can be spoken or expressed is just Dhamma, not that thing. Ah, you have received everything, my spiritual understanding. I will pass you the rope and insignia. That is why. Don't be talkative. Don't talk too much. The one who knows or understands does not speak or talk. The one who speaks or talk does not know. Because the best way is just to express your gratitude, your being, your respect. That's it. Or no words can express it. The moment he kneeled in front of Bodhidharma for 3 days and three nights to request Dhamma, Huike already had the resolve. Do you all know who this Huike is? Yes, he was the one who chopped off one of his arms that has karmic problem. But because of that, sorry, but before that, do you know who he was? If I'm not wrong, he was the one that was very violent and very hot-tempered. Do you remember him? He wagged 2 teeth out of Bodhidharma's mouth. He almost died because the king of hell, Yama, wanted to see him. Then he asked, what have I done wrong? And he was told, you have done terrible wrong. You wagged that guy, according to King Yama. There is a fully enlightened being around, but you are teaching false Dhamma and you go, and you are so violent, he said. Cannot be. Tell me, who is the one? Then they told him, the one you went. Then he asked for permission. Give me some time. I will come back to you because I need to see him first. That's why he chased after Bodhidharma and finally caught up with him. Finally, he managed to become the Bodhidharma's disciple and received the second patriarchship from him. After that, he was given the name Huike, meaning able wisdom. So you look at the way the Zen series of story from Bodhidharma onwards until the sixth patriarch, all beautifully described in the sutta. When Huike received the insignia, the bud and the bow, Bodhidharma told him that this rope and bow shall stop at the sixth patriarch. Just now I had related this to all of you already. According to Bodhidharma, by then, 200 years later, the Dhamma, the Maya teaching, would have flourished after the appearance of the six patriarchs teaching. So there is no need to pass it on, after which all subsequent patriarchship would not have the robe and the insignia. We visited most of the six patriarchs way place last year during our last year's spiritual trip to China. And that trip was most beautiful, and it was like meant to be. We went to his birthplace, and all the other places he visited, one of which was where he spent his 16 years of hiding among the hunters, and all those related story. When he finally came out, he was able to have the condition to be recognized, and was then put in charge of that temple. What was the name of that temple? The abbot saw him, and because of the flag and wind incident, then they invited him to teach. Then from there, he was given the position to actually transmit the Dhamma. That monastery was very famous. Forgot his name already. What's the name? Ah, yes. Guan Si. So that place was beautiful. Do you remember? We went in there, and the first hall we visited was Bahai and Shen Xiu's hall. Oh, sorry, Shen Hui. Shen Hui is the youngest disciple. Bahai is the chief disciple. Then there was a drum, like the Tibetan one, which is very big, where we turn it around, and whatever it is, all these were very beautiful, and we managed to visit almost all the sacred places, and we even managed to meet up with some very good monks too. Then one of the monks took us to the place where the relics are. He helped lead us to chant like what you all did, love for. As we mindfully walk around the relics, he took us to do the round for three rounds. The monk was very good, so the condition was beautiful. That was why it was like meant to be. The trip was very wholesome and very beautiful. So all these are conditioned to let you understand. I just want to repeat this part so that you all may recall that beautiful spiritual trip. Apart from rejoicing, the basic understanding for cultivation must be there too. He said, if this basic understanding also you don't understand, then you are wasting your time, really. Instead of talking about thought-based meditation and all those things, because this self-nature, you have to really understand it. Each and every living being has it, because all beings are connected to this self-nature. From here, everything arises. Then the basic teaching as per Sakyamuni Buddha's proclamation, mind is the forerunner of all things, mind is she. When mind arises, everything arises. And all Dhamma arise from the self-nature. All Dhammas, all duality and things, including the phenomenal world of consciousness. And whatever that arises is dependent originating condition arising, following nature's law within the existential world. Whereas this self nature is the unconditioned, is the source of all things, is already there originally, where it was never born. Whatever that is never born will never get old, never get sick and die. So when you understand this, then you can start the cultivation. That's why basic teaching must start with mind, which means you have to understand the mundane mind and the true mind. The mundane mind needs to be trained. You need the spiritual faculties and the silent mind to cultivate, because you need to return to realize this self-nature. If you cannot return to this self-nature, you cannot awaken, you cannot understand all this. That is the reason why mindfulness is very important, and it can enable one to return to the true mind to realize the self nature. When you are mindful, aware without thought, there is no mundane creation, no heedless thinking, no sankara activity, no thought process. Then everything becomes clear. Then the stillness, the silence, the tranquility, the clarity allows you to see things as they are, and that nature can awaken to the three universal characteristics of nature. It is only when this nature awakens, the wisdom comes along, and this wisdom needs to be connected to the form and mind to liberate it. The five aggregates of form and mind before it is enlightened, there is no wisdom connected to it as yet. This wisdom is very important, and this is the one that came about only via the direct seeing. Not until this wisdom is connected to this form of mind, this form of mind will be deluded. But the moment wisdom is connected, then you can say this is the enlightened. Sorry, this one is enlightened, but this one is not you. So the whole of cultivation is just to realize the self nature or the true mind or the silent mind. Then from there, the direct seeing awakens the form and mind. So this wisdom can only come about via the direct seeing, meaning seeing things as they are. So this is the awakening. When the awakening comes about, the wisdom is developed, and this wisdom will be connected to the form and mind that realizes it. So this one, we can say, is enlightened. The five aggregates of form and mind with the wisdom connected. Without the wisdom connected, this one is deluded. This one will become an ordinary buddhijana. The moment it's connected, this one becomes an arya. So whether it's an arya or not an arya depends on whether wisdom is connected or not. This one is an arya because it is connected, pointing to the whiteboard's drawing. Otherwise, this one is just an ordinary being or a whirling buddhijana. But this one is not you, because this one is impermanent, completely conditional for you to come to this existential world. That is why you must know how to use it as a vehicle and a tool for you to live life. This one is subject to karma. That's why you must have the right duty, one of the four qualities of an enlightened disciple or the Buddha, the Aryan Sangha, of good conduct, of upright conduct, of wise conduct. And the last one is of dutiful conduct. But this form of mind is subject to karma. That's why you have your duty. You cannot simply do things or act, because this form of mind is subject to nature's law of karma. And when you understand this, you understand the whole of life, the whole of cultivation. So a lot of Buddhists or cultivators, they can't progress because they don't understand this aspect of the Buddha Dhamma. So this part about the form of mind and its duality, the meaning is very deep, which Master Xuan Hua didn't manage to explain and share. So now with this understanding, maybe we can move on. Do you have any question regarding this about the self nature? Anybody has any question? Is it clear now? Yes. Oh, then there is a question, I think. Pass the mic to Sister Adeline. Okay, we stop here. Page 24. Okay. Mark this page. We will stop here, page 24. Then we will off the light. And you can have your 45 minutes of awareness based meditation. Okay. Just relax body and mind completely. Then maintain awareness for as long as you can. Then silence everything. Don't try to know, don't try to do anything. Then allow the mundane mind to settle down so that your awareness nature can stabilize. Then use it to meditate. Okay. Okay, you can slowly, mindfully come out of the meditation. And we will continue with our next session, which is meditation reporting, followed by whatever question you may have. Then you can also share on Dhamma in daily life based on what you have gone through, how to apply this teaching to help you understand life, live life, develop all the wisdom to enable you to overcome all of life situation or problem that one encounters.
Hello, can you hear me? Good. Good evening, Brother Teo, Mr. Teo,
yeah,
all the Kalamitas.
Yeah.
Thank you, PG, for nominating me. I saw I'm quite blank.
Do you have any sharing or question to ask, or maybe report any of the meditation that you have gone through? Today's topic, you were able to follow, eh?
Yeah. Today's topic is a very good revision.
Very good revision. You are right, yes.
Yes. I'm sorry today. You talk about the how the sixth patriarch got his patriarchship from
the story on Bodhidharma, how to do the cultivation. You have to start from basic, means Sing Wei Ken Ben, means the basic of mind you have to understand. Then only you can go into the true teaching.
I think it's very important. I mean, for to at least, I mean, like to understand before we. I used to think that, you know, we just need to sit. I want to know, like normally when we started like meditation, then we normally request us to sit to to settle our mind, to make sure that our mind is like not in this like mundane mind, everything here and there, everything, so we might settle it. But after settling it, we also need to understand the Buddha Dhamma so that we are able to go into deeper. So today, Bodhi Dhamma, he talked about you cannot meditate first. I remember we used to learn Buddhism that we should not meditate, so we should understand. The Dharma.
That is what he advised the Zen monk, the so-called Buddhist monk at that time, because he saw what they are doing is wasting their time, because by doing all those things, he realized they cannot awaken, they are wasting their time, because they are doing superficial meditation or superficial Dhamma. They are not really cultivating the true Dhamma. So that aspect is very important. Do you want to like go through the thing again? Why you just now mentioned? Why is it that in the past, the early days especially, you're supposed to sit, like you mentioned, everybody was told to sit. Then why is sitting of no use when you don't understand? That's why the Zen analogy, sometimes they say, if sitting alone can make you enlightened, then the frog should be enlightened. The frog sit all the time. Then there are other analogy. Because like you went through just now, the obvious, like very popularly accepted ways to see it so that your mind can settle down. But that meditation. So what Bodhidharma gave as example is very good, because when they went in, you remember the monk got the rules. He said, whoever break the silence, has to go out. Because you already lost your ability to have the silence, because you're supposed to meditate without thought, without thinking, without chattering, without anything. But they don't understand that. They only understand what normal people understand. You must not speak. You must not make noise. Yeah. Then if you can do that, they think they are meditating. So sitting, like what normally people go to at most meditation center, they see the sign. They interpret that as noble silence. Actually, they put their second finger straight up against their mouth. Then they call that noble silence. That is not noble silence. That is don't talk. Don't create any unnecessary sound or noise or speak. So what actually is noble silence? Noble silence means to develop the silent mind that is without any chattering, without any movement inside. So the mundane mind that is not heedlessly lost in thought, that is not verbalizing inside, not chattering, that is the complete silence within, means noble silence. Yeah. But most people cannot, because when you ask them to sit, it's like restricting their movement to be natural, because they don't know how to relax. So the first support for awareness-based meditation is to relax. Relax into what? Every mind state that arise. Like at the retreat, I think Man Yuan realized he missed that step. Because he missed that step, she realized he cannot settle down. But then later on, when she was able to do that, then she can settle down. That's why relaxation is very important. Relax into every mindset, then let things be. Then the thinking mind, the mundane mind, will slow down and settle down and develop the stillness within. Means the mundane mind will return to its natural state before the stirring, so that you can realize the true mind, the silent mind. That is what meditation is all about. But this has not been taught. Most of the time, they say, sit. Then they give you one instruction to meditate. And what are instructions? A series of instructions to do things. And this is not meditation. So all this method, technique, or whatever skillful mean that they give to you as meditation object or instruction to meditate, they are all only skillful means to train the mind, to anchor the mind, so that you are not lost in thought. They know if you just sit without doing anything, the thought is very active. And most people cannot settle down because the mental hindrances are there. The spiritual faculties are not there. And because of that, the mental hindrance hinders the mind from entering the meditative state. So all this, they don't understand. The basis for cultivation also they don't understand. They only actually know one thing. They must seek more calm mind, more peaceful mind. That's why they are actually searching for peace, calmness. So like your case you mentioned last time, you see this because you want to let your mind settle down. So to let your mind settle down, you know how to see it with the relaxation and maintain awareness, then you will settle down, like our four support. Then it can be lying down meditation or sitting or standing or whatever posture, you can settle down. The mind and just settle down. But you must have the understanding of all support, or at least the first three. Relax into every mind state that arises. Then maintain awareness for as long as you can. Means don't think, just let the awareness arise and let the thinking slow down until the mundane mind stop. Then you can have the ability to realize the true mind before the stirring, before the movement. But most people cannot do that. So because of that heedless thinking, what they do is they come up with methods and techniques or thought-based meditation to verbalize, through chanting, through focusing, concentration, or object of meditation to actually fix the mind so that this mind does not wander off and become heedless, so that they are not lost in thought. Yeah. That's why they will come up with all the various methods and techniques to do. Some use the verbalization of Buddha, 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 or chanting, or Samarahang, Samarahang, and all those things. And some, they use the rising and falling as an object of meditation. The abdomen, the rise and fall. And all. Then some use the anapanasati, the breathing. Then some use the dynamic hand movement and all those things. But by doing this repetitively, you become like able to settle down, become more calm, more peaceful. Then some do walking, some do bowing, and some do tai chi, stretching or whatever. So all these are skillful means to anchor the mind so that the mind settle down, then train the mind to be with the object of meditation so that it does not wander off and create the heedless thinking. So that is what they are doing. But basically, what is meditation? Never thought. That's why we have to start from basic understanding. Where according to the Buddha, our mind is the forerunner of all things. Mind is Shiva. When mind arises, all things arise. Means all of the mental hindrance, the duality, the delusion, born of the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion, they arise because you lack right view. You lack right understanding. Then when you know all this, you will have to ask yourself, what is the basis of life, basis of living, basis of action? That's why the Buddha came out with the right view. He came to this realization that we are all living beings. And all living beings, they follow this law of karma. That's why he said we are all born of our karma, heir to our karma, conditioned and supported by our karma. And we are what we are because of our karma. So when we understand that this law plays such a great role in our life, from this right view, he straight away advises to take care of karma. So that is how we start. Then how do we take care of karma, I say? You have to follow his advice to avoid all evil, to go purify the mind. And that is what meditation is all about. How to avoid all evil? That's why he said, keep the precepts. When you break the precept, it constitutes major evils. Yeah. Then the second part is cultivate wholesomeness. Avoid all evil, do good, or cultivate wholesomeness. Means, after you give your precept, you're supposed to train yourself in the morality aspect. Means, you not only keep your precept, you develop the ennoblers. Then you develop all the virtue, the wholesomeness, the goodness, all the beautiful mind state. That's why you cultivate noble informa, the first few power factors, especially right view leading to right thought. Thought that are free of the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. Then right thought, condition, right speech, right action, right life view. than the foreign effort. That's how you develop the cultivation of wholesomeness. Then the last part, to purify the mind, we start with the four-eye effort to purify the thought. Then after that, we move into mindfulness, to be aware, to be mindful. That's where meditation starts. So mindfulness, samasati, is the training of the mind to be aware, not to be lost in thought, not to develop the heedless thinking. To understand that there are two minds. One is the mundane mind that is subject to karma. And that one you need to train so that it will develop only right thought to cultivate wholesomeness, to avoid evil so that karmic negativity can be avoided. And finally, the third training is to meditate, to insight into phenomena, to awaken, to develop the wisdom, to understand clearly the universal characteristics of anicca, dukkha, and anatta through the direct seeing, through the silent mind that awakens to all phenomena. Here, all phenomena exhibit all these characteristics. So the final part, which is purification of mind, which is meditation, is to be aware. So you have to start with training your mind to be aware. If this basic understanding also you don't have, then we cannot meditate. That's why the whole of meditation is a cultivation. We have to cultivate the mind through developing mindfulness to be aware of our mental intention, to understand the essential Dhamma, what constitutes evil, so that when we are aware of the evil roots that can condition us into negativity or mind state, then we need to abandon the four-eye effort first. Then the meditative way is the third way, means awareness, just silent away. Then the fourth way is to trace the origination factor, then retrospectively reversing it. So all this require mindfulness, awareness. So you cannot develop mindfulness or awareness, then stabilize it to realize your true mind, your awareness nature. Then you cannot even keep your precepts, because without mindfulness, you cannot keep your precepts. Then you cannot cultivate the Noble Eightfold Path. Because without mindfulness, you are like deluded, blind. You can't see anything. You cannot develop the wisdom. But with mindfulness, you can see clearly. You can be aware of what is going on in life, in existence. Then you can come to the understanding of who you are, what you are, what this form and mind is all about. Then what that true mind is all about, then how it can awaken an insight to phenomena, to develop the understanding. Then you can see clearly how the form and mind, through delusion, through ignorance, spur the mind, develop duality, develop confusion, heedlessness. Then how the evil root brings about evil activity of body, speech, and mind. Then how karma arise. So all this understanding is what meditation is all about. So Bodhidharma told them, if you don't go in and understand all this, means he used the Mandarin word very good. Sing Wei Ken Ben. You must start with basic understanding of mind. What is this mind? Well, as a human being, we have a form and mind, a physical body and a mind trapped inside. That's how we start. Then this mind is very important, is it? That's why in the teaching, the basic essential Dhamma, the Buddha always talk about the mundane mind. Yeah, this one, he said, is the forerunner of all things. Mind is she. When mind arise, all things arise. Then in the Mahayana, they mention this Mahayana Mandarin word. 一切为心造, means everything arises from the mind, created by the mind, 心造成的. So it is the same as Dhammapada verse 1 and 2 that Sakyamuni Buddha taught. So when you understand that, then you understand the first part, the mundane mind. Then when you meditate, you realize when this mundane mind ceases, there is another nature within. And that one, you have to develop the understanding through cultivating, through learning from somebody who understands, like Sakyamuni Buddha, how he teach, how the essential Dhamma bring about that understanding. That's why he teach mindfulness, sati. He never teach thinking. Yeah. Of course, under Noble Eightfold Path, there is right view leading to right thought. That's it. But when it comes to purification of mind, it's all about sati. The four foundation of mindfulness is all mindfulness of the four foundation. And that is the only way for the overcoming of sorrow and suffering, for reaching the right path, for the realization of the true Dhamma to awaken. So all this understanding, when it falls into place, then we will know how to start our meditation. That's why he gave the analogy. He said, why are you all sitting? And this monk, they don't understand, because they say they have gone through the preliminaries. As a samanera, they have done all the work. So now it's meditation. Sit. Silent. So the key understanding is they have to sit, they have to silent. But during the Buddha's time, as I have explained 2,000 years ago, you hardly see any people sitting on the chair. Well, most people are poor. You go to people's house, I remember in the 50s and the 60s. My house hardly have any chair, and most of us sit on the floor, we play on the floor, we do a lot of things on the floor. And later only, my father starts to buy table and all those things. Because in the early days, you can't even find a carpenter to actually produce a table. You got money also, you cannot buy. Then later on, there were goods where you can buy, or people sell and will import from other places and other things. So that's how we slowly develop the progress to have table, to have chair. And I remember that time, our whole family, there was only one table where everything we do there. We have our breakfast there, our lunch, our dinner, then whatever activity we do there. If like want to make noodle or what, we use that table. Study also use that table. My father, Chinese sensei, when he attend to patient, he also use that table. So one table, whole family, you know, nine of us, brother and sister, share one table. How to study? We don't have a study room. No. There is only one room where my mother stay with the nine of us. And then my grandmother stay another room. Then whoever the children that she like, she will let the children stay with her. Then my father got no place to sleep. The one they call Fan Po Chong. You call one, that one. In English it's called the you sleep outside on the folded one with the cloth in the center one. You open up and you sleep. The foldable bed, the cloth type one. I sleep on that a lot. When I grew up also, as we reach standard six, we had to walk out and stay outside also. So we call that fan po chong. Or in Hokkien is already, I also don't know how to call it. So this was the condition at that time. So things is such. So the emphasis is different because at that time food and shelter is top priority. Then only come education. Of course, our Chinese culture, we have this emphasis on education, which is very good. But to really excel in education, you must have proper condition and environment. When you don't even have a proper place for people to study, what you expect? And most people, because of family circumstances, remember, my family, we were more fortunate. Well, my father shouldered the responsibility. To look for money is not your responsibility. Your responsibility is to study and graduate and become somebody useful. And to look for money for education expenses, my father says, his responsibility. So he took that one up. So we are very good. So when it comes to cultivating the Buddha Dharma, it's the same. When we understand all this basic clear understanding, then we know how to move, we know how to develop ourselves, then we don't know how to actually come out from the poverty cycle and break free. Just like cultivating the Buddha Dharma is like breaking free from the cycle of perfect death, break ignorance, liberate our mind, develop clear understanding of life so that we know how to live life, we understand life, then we can be a blessing to all. Then we can actually solve our own life problems and all the things. So basically, this Dhamma sharing is very important, and there is a video on it. I think they make it into a 6-page here, Liu Zhu Hui Neng title, like the life history of 6 patriarch, Master Hui Neng, 6 patriarch, Liu Zhu Hui Neng. So that show actually develop all this, what they call important Dhamma sharing, Dhamma understanding. That's why Bodhidharma, after he was able to break their delusion, then started teaching them. Because before that, they looked down upon Bodhidharma. You remember, he came not within their expectation. They thought he was very famous. He must have a grand entourage. No, he came alone and he didn't even have a proper shoe with him at that time. So all this were the condition at that time. But as he stayed in the monastery where he was on the invitation of the emperor, then all these things manifest. And because of his parami, he was able to actually come out with the condition to teach them. And he also taught them the exercise part, the kung fu part, and that's why it developed into Shaolin Si and martial art and all those things. And they also have the Buddhist temple having their Buddhist activity, their chanting and all those things. Then the Buddhist teaching covers a wide aspect of life and is mainly developing wisdom, understanding. Then from there, they can actually become a very useful tools to transform the ordinary people, the population at that time, the citizen of the country. Then of course that complement society, because this understanding was lacking at that time. But of course, China has its own culture. They have Confucianism, they have Laozi, Taoism, and all the various type of great thinkers teaching at that time. Similarly, the West also have their religion and all those things. That's how all this actually comes about. Then of course the Middle East and other area like India, they have their own religion, their own philosopher, thinkers and all those things. Then you have the various type of teachings, philosophers, philosophies, even the Western one, they have their teachings. Then some are assimilated into the education field, means they were taught as basic education topics or faculties. That's why they have this what they call religious study, comparative religion and all those things. Then they have theology and period time. So basically, when you want to study any teaching, or you want to like develop the understanding of what truth is, to realize enlightenment and awakening, it depends on which field you go in, which is more conducive to the individual. And everyone, basically, I realize all religion claim to have the truth, points towards the truth. And most of them started by teaching people the basic teaching, avoiding all evil, doing good, having love and compassion. Then, of course, to follow the message of whatever that is wholesome, good, whatever the teacher teach. Then from there, religion starts to flourish. But when I look at the world religion, I try to do a study. Then I realize what is unique about our Buddhist teaching is we not only have the basic teaching of avoiding all evil, doing good, having love, compassion, virtue and all those things, but there is a part on the meditative understanding, which is mindfulness, awareness, sti, and that one is missing in most religion. Most religion don't have that aspect of training. Then the depth of understanding of mind is actually lacking in most other religion, but of course there are some also have their meditative understanding too, like the Hindu teaching and many other type of Asian, the Eastern side teaching, they have their own meditation too. So this is what we need to be exposed to develop the understanding. So for your case, Tammy, hopefully with this understanding, now you start to develop the understanding of why meditation is not just to be gullible about sitting. If you just sit without understanding, you are wasting your time. Like Bodhidharma gives them the example, the grace where he was rubbing against the table. The table could be made of maybe a rock or whatever. Then he said, I want to make it into a mirror. So they laughed at him. He said, no matter how you grind, the glassware is still the glassware. It can never be a mirror. There's a mirror that reflects is different. You have to make it differently. So Bodhidharma said, what I saw in your so-called meditation is the same. You think by sitting like that, without making any noise, you can become enlightened. To me, this is foolish. This is delusion. Means you don't understand what you are doing. It's just like me polishing the glassware to make it in the mirror. It's impossible. You're wasting your time. And then they become curious because after this analogy, they realize he is very wise. Then they ask him, if sitting without making noise cannot make us enlightened, then what can? What is the real practice or cultivation? That's why Bodhidharma start by teaching them the basic essential teaching, the foundation. He said, you have to understand your mind as the basis of starting the meditation. Xing wei gen ben. So from the mind, you start. That's why we end up with the mundane mind and the true mind, like I explained just now. Then after we understand already, then we realize the mundane mind, if it's active, you cannot be silent, you cannot be aware. The true mind cannot arise. So thought-based meditation cannot lead to the silent mind, the awareness nature within, because that is the only instrument that can bring about the realization of a mind state that is beyond thought, beyond mind. That's why that one is just aware, that nature within. When there is no thought, there is no duality, there is no delusion, there is perfect stillness, tranquility, awareness within, then there is clarity. So everything about that silent mind, the true mind, is meditative mind. Whereas everything about the other mind is the mundane mind, the thinking mind, the heedless thinking mind that is always lost in thought, agitated, restless, think a lot, worry a lot, verbalize a lot, chatter. The mind that cannot settle down, cannot realize peace. So seeing all this, understanding all this, we start. That's why he said, start from the mind. Yeah, that understand all this, then the whole teaching become clear. So this cultivation is very different, very unique, very beautiful. So this expatria platform sutta, that's why it's not easy to understand, not easy to penetrate. But the Zen teaching find this teaching very interesting. That's why they actually preserve it. Then they brought it all over China. Yeah. Especially after the advent of the sixth patriarch. Yeah. The whole of the Mahayana teaching become very different. Initially, only the patriarch who received the teaching has the understanding. Then they had to wait till the sixth patriarch to come out with this understanding and profound teaching that were able to bring about like the rise of the Buddhist teaching again. That's why they need causes and conditions. So the sixth patriarch actually is a very important, what they call a very significant turnaround for Mahayana teachings, for the Buddhist teaching. We call it the revival, the transformation that leads to the what they call the causes and conditions for Buddha Dharma to flourish again, to become popular again, to trigger off the potency of his teaching and understanding. That's why even until today, a lot of emphasis is being put on the development of the understanding of the Six Patriarchs Platform Sutta teaching. And this teaching is actually one of the sutra that is put on par with what the Buddha has taught, the Six Patriarchs teaching. All the other essential Dhamma are from Sakyamuni Buddha. He taught them. All the various sutra discourses. But the sixth patriarch platform sutra was after the Buddha. And they put it the same status as the sutra proclaimed by the Buddha and all those things. That's why the uniqueness, the beauty is all reflected there. Okay, David. So hopefully with all this, we can develop the understanding together. And all parameters, like you say, it is like a revision to you all. So that revision, if you really go into it, you can develop a lot of understanding. Okay, Tammy?
Sadu, yeah, it is very well explained, and then it also, like, you know, even is first of all, I want to thank Baratio to explain it so detailed, and then like in every aspect, even more detailed than the first time. When you talk about this dharma.
Yes.
And then it is even like at first, then you even talk about like how karma and then come without from the karma, understanding of karma, and until the understanding of meditation and also
the advice of the Buddha.
It is very clear.
They are all connected. They are all connected.
It is like I'm feeling a lot of joy.
How the way will feel a lot of joy. Yeah, this is the understanding. This is how we unfold from mind. We develop all this understanding. Then the advice of the Buddha comes. Then from the advice of the Buddha, the meditation comes. Then from there, the whole understanding unfolds.
And then feeling very unfortunate and gratitude able to encounter this teaching.
Correct. This sharing, this beautiful Buddha Dharma. That's why in the year 1971, when I saw the Four Noble Truths, I never turned back. This is it, I realized. No need to search. After searching for about 1 or 2 years, finally when I saw the Four Noble Truths, I realized that's it. That's why after that I went all out in trying to develop the understanding. Of course, after that, I came to the uni. Then I had to finish up my uni education. But in between, I developed understanding of these teachings. That's why I attended a lot of Dhamma classes. Initially, I mainly go to Brickfield Temple, attend the Sunday class, the Friday talk, then whatever Buddhist activity that I came to know through the Buddhist Society. At that time, University of Malaya have the BJ, the Buddhist Society. Then later on, other Buddhist organizations also come out with the program and activity. Of course, we have BMS. Then later on, the Sektu side and many other. So nowadays, a lot more. Nowadays, you have even a lot of Buddhist society now. Subang Jaya, Nalanda, Klang, so they have a lot. Then, in fact, all the various states, I think all Malaysia now they have. Then, of course, there are Theravada, Mahayana, and the Tibetan side. So all this has flourished. All they have, like, rise over time. And hopefully all this will generate more and more interest in the Buddha Dharma, in the cultivation, and more people can have access to this teaching. So we also play our part with our Dharma website, with our Dharma activity, and with our sharing. In fact, our books, our website has actually helped many people to, and like Eskayamita, we know a lot of people with first number through reality problem, especially those who have suffering, misery, and even some with suicidal thought, depression, and all those things. After learning this teaching, they turn around, they become beautiful, their life become like normal again, no more like last time. groping in delusion, entangling themselves here and there. So finally, when they understand this, they decide for themselves to change over for the better. And the Buddha Dhamma is very beautiful. The moment you understand and change for the better, your life starts improving, transforming, become very different. Then you can, like the Buddha said, you can see it for yourself. When you follow his advice, when you start to hold on to the precepts, your life improve, become beautiful. When you start to develop the ability to avoid evil, cultivate goodness, wholesomeness, virtue, your life change. Then you have more joy, you have more peace. Then when you try to start the meditation, you transform further. That's why all these advice of the Buddha, they are basically the teachings and make living beings actually different. When you really have that, what they call ability to come into contact with this teaching, when you have affinity with the Triple Gem, you will develop a lot of faith, a lot of gratitude, a lot of respect for the Buddha, his teaching. So all this, I think as Kayamitas, as Buddhists, we all have this understanding. That's why this teaching is so beautiful, so wonderful, so meaningful. So good, huh?
Yeah, so like to think, but just now when I was raising out the question, my mind was like, can't really think of how to.
Yeah, because you suddenly and call you up. Then, like you say, you were for a while like blank inside the hand. That's why I try to guide you along.
And then somehow you get the question, and then,
yeah.
I mean, then like, it is explained well. Thank you so much.
Very good. Anything else?
That's all from
my side. Then you can nominate somebody. Tell me.
Nominate somebody. Okay. Maybe Sister Alicia.
Alicia. Yes.
Okay. Sadhu.
Yeah, Sadhu. Alicia, are you there?
Hi. Good evening, Raju.其实这个 transcript 我也 find very beautiful because 他的行为根本哦
差不多四五年前，对，就他，我的
understanding 是不没有现在这样啊。 现在我的 understanding 这个行为根本又不一样。不一样了，是的。其实，其实 Virgil， 我想 share 我在新加坡的一个 experience。
可以啊，是的，很好啊。Actually，
我这个 trip， so called business trip to Singapore， 我去到我的 customer， 他就 send 他的 PA 带我去做
facial。Very common though in Singapore， I think where they got all this package for facial. Sui also told me last time in Singapore she also bought some of these packages for facial.
So 他就带我去 facial， 当我在 facial 那边 ，so as I relax 啊 ，so 我就slowly 我就 go into like very deep meditation。
Yeah， meditative state， yeah。
Then 好像过了一阵子，当我出来的时候哈，就他是。怎样讲？他很难出来啊，不然就
对，因为 neither awareness, nature went in very deep already. Then it is normally facial they do for you at least 2 hours or more. So because of that duration, you can actually go into the very deep state. Even I went to the dentist, not really facial, they can really feel the difference. Yes, when they finish, I aware on this, I straight away came out. Then when they talk to me, I also aware. Then they say, "Wow, you're very good. Oh, you can even snore and sleep inside that. It's actually not snore, sleep. I can relax into it and like let them do what they like. And they find it very easy. Whatever they tell me to do, they realize there is response. But I was like sleeping. I was like resting. Completely at rest. So when you know how to meditate, all these are possible. Then of course, when we all go for facial, I seldom go. But your lady more often, I think. It can be very, very soothing and very conducive for you to relax and develop the meditative state like you mentioned. Because you don't have to do anything. They do everything to make you relax. They massage you. They do all the facial things. Of course, sometimes they talk to you. Then you feel very good after that. My wife always tell me after the session, she feel very good. So after that, what happened? You find it very difficult to come out.
Yeah, very difficult. Actually, 我出来的时候, actually 我是有, 就说你 conscious 啦, but then 你就是很难出来 in the sense that 你, 你 aware 到 surrounding, but then 你就是很像, 怎样讲啊, 就是你很像很难出来, 就是你眼睛就是很难,
对, 对. To become conscious again, take a while.
I mean, 这个是一个我从来就没有 experience 的东西. It's like very new to me. So 我就 回来之后我就 reflect into it. But then 那个过程 actually 就是 2:07 to 5:02, 差不多很2个多小时。
That's why you can go in so deep.
可是他的那个 感觉好像一下子罢了。
对。 Like you are there for a while only.
I was like, but anyway, 我只是知道他罢了咯, it's like
Because when we go into the deep state of awareness, we actually go into the timeless. Timeless means no psychological time, no thinking time. So it's like you actually rested for a while only, but actually could be 3-4 hours already because of the awareness nature. When you are inside there, the hardly any activity, hardly any movement at all, very still. Then everything is just within aware. Then that one, for it to become conscious again, it takes a while. Especially when you know how to relax and go into your nature, then you can be inside that for quite a while. Then when you come out of it, like you've gone through this time maybe it take you longer. That's why it's like 很难, it's okay. Just let it happen. Yes, it will happen. It will happen. And all these are only possible if you know how to develop awareness-based meditation. You know how to go deep into your nature, which is very good. Beautiful. After that, 那个跟你做 facial 的有感觉到什么东西啊?
那当我出来的时候, I think because 我的 posture 是从来没有动过, 我出来之后我慢慢感觉到我的手好像有一点点 like 麻掉, then I understand, maybe I have been there for so long, so that's it.
3个小时, almost.
So 这只是一个小小的一个 experience.
Water, 对, experience,
对, 还有就是当我们 after 我们的 retreat 回来的时候，我开始回去 office 做工，我开始我的就是 back to 我的 daily life
routine。
对呀，所以我发觉到一个different， 就是他一下子好像很难 recall 那个 memory， like 你不懂怎样，不懂怎样。
Very good. Your brain has start to become different.
Yes, yes. Like 你 you take a while to 讲 resume 你的 daily work.
Correct.
就是他就说 like 你 take a while to go and recall 你的 memory， 你的东西。
对，
就让我讲，原来 retreat 可以有这样的 effect 哦。
Yeah.
所以我感觉
when we go very deep into our nature, when we come out, you know what happened or not? Because most of the time we are at our nature, at the heart there. Then we hardly think already, you know. We hardly go to the brain activity there already, you know. Then our listening, our hearing, our whatever is at the heart level, no, even the perception through the sense, no, all at the heart area. That's why after that, my brain transformed. The mundane mind collapsed. Then later on, a lot of things happened. Then this supramundane consciousness, the awareness, the vibration different. Then the brain also become different. No? That's why you also will realize sometimes when I do the sharing or whatever, I cannot remember how I come to all these things. Then I have to ask you all. Then sometimes when I do the chanting, it's like that moment I chant, the next moment I cannot recall where I was on that chanting, because it's like everything is new. Everything is just that moment, understand? But all these phases, they will go through one. You will go through, you will experience them. But nothing to worry on, nothing to fear, because wisdom, no need to remember on. Only knowledge need to be remembered. And knowledge is actually in the memory already. So when you need to retrieve it, you can retrieve one, but you need causes and conditions. You need to recollect. Sometimes you need to recollect for a while. How did you come to this? Then that recollection can actually bring forth the thing, because your awareness, when you go through it with awareness, you can actually recollect through the memory. Because the awareness, actually, during that time you are aware, is part of your awareness nature's movement. That's why you can recollect. Then I can know what happened. Then from there, I can connect back. But moment to moment, instant to instant, means every moment of activity, the brain has become different. It's not like normal people. Wow, you're thinking all like non-stop one, like that very active thinking. It cannot already. The thought, like, they are not there at all, or most of them are not connected. And everyone is new, because your awareness nature is there. It's very fresh. So this phase is very normal. You will go through. You cannot recall, never mind. There's something like your memory is like affected. It's not affected. It's because now you are more towards the awareness side. You use more of your nature to live life. You are no longer like before. So this phase, let it go through. It will come to pass. Then you will become more and more beautiful. The awareness will transform more and more. Your brain activity will transform more and more. Because when we can go in deep, our wisdom energy, the pure energy from our nature, they will trigger off a type of vibration which is very pure, very, very fine and very pure. And this one will cause our mundane mind, later on your case or so, will happen to slowly, slowly collapse. The brain activity there in front of your brain there and inside your brain, a lot of things will happen to you. You will come to know later on. So this is normal, beautiful part of the cultivation.
I find it so amazing.
Very amazing.
Most of the time 是很近的, 我是很, 没有什么, 就算你不需要用你的头脑的时候, 你是into你的 nature, like 你,
在你的
awareness
里面这样子罢了。 Only you use the thought. That's why it's very different. That type of living is hateful living, and you become very different. That's why people cannot understand us. We find thinking very difficult already, you know, like we seldom think, hardly think. When we want to interact with people, communicate with people, we can still talk, we can still interact, communicate. But it's direct from the heart or no? From the understanding come out or no? It's not through memory. Then of course sometimes the words we may not recall because it's not from memory anymore. Then sometimes I have to ask around, what is that word and all that. Because the thing that normally can remember one, it's like missing. But it's not to say it's not in the memory. It's in the memory. It's because of the transformation. The awareness nature has become different. We are using more and more awareness nature until we are fully at the heart area. When we are fully at the heart area, then you become different. That's why it took me 30 over years to go through all this. That's why I can share what you all go through while you are going through the cultivation of awareness-based meditation. It's because my nature since 1989 has transformed. As 89, now it's already 2019, 33 years of transformation. So this one, that's why people cannot understand what my nature went through. And for it to connect in 1989 at the age of 35 is considered very early to detect the gateway to go in, to go through all this. And most people, according to my last guide, people who can do this, most of them, they only get it at the age of 80. They already 80, not much time left really. So for us, like your case, Alicia, you got it maybe 50 something. We still consider very early. But of course, my case, I was lucky where I met my last guy when I was ready and I developed the understanding and straight away I detected my gateway. I said 10 to 15 years. Otherwise, I also had to wait till about 50 years old for me to detect. If on my own I look for it, I think at least 50 years old before I can detect it. So all this meant to be. For me, that's why among Kayamitas, quite a number has this ability to connect early. Then in future, when we all come, you all come, you will become different again. Based with all this understanding, the Bodhisattva vow and the transformation. So in future, when you come, all this will come back to you and you will connect and inherit back your spiritual understanding. To have all this understanding. That's why this life, you all who have the ability must stabilize all this awareness-based meditation, the transformation, till you become very stable, very clear. If this life you can do that, then with your vow, your aspiration, the Bodhisattva vow, then when you come again, you can actually connect back to have this understanding very fast, very fast. And then you become very different. Your meditative understanding becomes very different. Like this life when I come. In fact, after 89, I became very different. So all these are the causes and conditions, and you unfold. That's why don't worry, Alicia. Normal.
Doubt or anything. 所以，Bradio很感恩，因为 Bradio 的 guide，我其实我真的是很感恩，因为能够走到这边，这是我从来没有想过的啦。哦，Bradio。所以因为时间的关系，我就要 end 我的 sharing，感恩 Bradio，感恩大家。感恩 Demi 的 sharing， 阿弥陀佛。
阿弥陀佛呀。Okay, good. So 我们改天再给你 continue. 沙丢沙丢沙丢。Okay, let us rejoice with the good sharing of Demi and Alicia. 沙丢沙丢沙丢。Okay, we will do the sharing of marriage, transfer of marriage, then the closing puja.Akasata cya pumata Devanaga mahindika Punyang tang anumoditwa Cirang rakan tu loka sasana Itta wata cya amehi Sampadan punya sampadan Sabe deva anumodantu Sabasampati sidiyaIdang menya tinang hotu sukita hontunya tayo. Idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontunya tayo. Idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontunya tayo. Deo wasatu kalena sasa sampati hetu cha. Vito bawa tu loko cha.Raja bawa tu damiko, ipina punyang kamina, mame bala samagamo, satang samagamo hotu, yawa nivana patia, sadu, sadu, sadu. Okay.You all can now pay respect mindfully to Lord Buddha, Kuan Yin Bodhisattva, and all the worthy ones. Then we will end the whole session. Sadhu. Thank you for the participation. Sadhu.